Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present
Hello and welcome to Gist Radio. We are a casual radio station where we broadcast when we have something to say. Gist stands for Getting the Shit Together, and we broadcast important interviews and information for artists and creators of all kinds. For more information on Gist, please log into our website at www.gyst-ink.com, where you will find free resources, software, and publications for artists. You can email us and let us know what you would like to hear about at info@gyst-ink.com. Thanks for tuning in.
That's like the catchiest theme song I've ever heard. This is Monica, everyone's favorite Gist jockey. I'm here on the line with Devin Suno. He is an artist. He's a curator. He's an educator. He's born in 1980 in Los Angeles. He's got an MFA from Claremont University and Cal State Long Beach, which is a bachelor's degree in fine art. He has a studio in Echo Park. He lives in Highland Park. And he is an adjunct faculty at Cal State Long Beach, University of La Verne, Cypress College, and CESA at CalArts, teaching painting, drawing, and color theory. And his curatorial project is called Concrete Walls Project. And this is from his website. On an above-average day, he treks across the city at night on his bike, fly fishing at the L.A. River, and enjoying a cold Mountain Dew. Everyone, welcome Devin Suno. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. So, like I was saying, this is super casual, and a couple of things came to mind when I was doing my research stalking of you. You know, I always wonder and ask, like, how do you get to this point? Like, what kinds of opportunities or conversations or risks did you have to take to kind of get to where you are? Like, what's the story? How did you get here?
I don't know. I mean, it's being an artist in L.A., it's pretty tough, definitely pretty tough. So I always kind of just started doing different things that I liked, and I met interesting people that were making art that I was interested in. And those kind of led me to do the projects that I've ended up doing.
So when you graduated with your MFA from Claremont, like, who connected you to who, to connect you to what, that made you, like, what kind of inspiration really drives you to actually put it into action? Like, I know a lot of artists who just kind of sit in their studio because they're inspired, but only kind of with themselves. Because the atmosphere for showing in galleries or making projects in public is kind of defeating. So, like, what makes you put it out there?
Yeah. Well, I think one really great thing about going to college to get an MFA or a BFA in Southern California is this really built-in network of artists that that support each other. And that was something that I learned early on when I was at Cal State Long Beach and then over at Claremont, because the system of the MFA program at Claremont is all built around this idea of like a little art community. So all the studios are in the same building, all the galleries are in the same building, all your peers are there. And so that interaction is kind of what makes it work. So after school, I really tried to keep that going, in a sense, where I started this little gallery on the Miracle Mile called Concrete Walls, and it was located right next to Ace Gallery across from the Korean Cultural Center. And it wasn't a traditional gallery with white spaces. It was a space that worked as a project space for artists, and then it also worked as a takeout food place as well, so it had like a dual function.
I love it. So how would you define your art practice? Can you define it?
I usually just say that I'm an artist. I paint, and I'm a curator too. And then teaching has actually become a really important part of both of those things. So I've found a way to kind of integrate teaching and curating and painting all together. So it satisfies me a lot more, I think.
Okay, so talk about that intersection. How are those things integrated for you?
Well, you're talking about like how artists, a lot of times they just stay in the studio and they make art,
mm-hmm.
and they don't think about their audience, or they don't think about, you know, interaction with the public.
Or that it's all
and
separate.
For me, huh? Was that?
Or that it's all separate.
Yeah,
like
that it's all separate.
In the studio is
but
different
it's not,
than
it's
the
all,
scenes.
Yeah, it's all together. And so when I teach, a lot of the projects that I do at colleges, like Cypress College, where I was running the gallery there, I would try to use the college and the resources of the college to create opportunities for artists outside of the college so that they could come in and they could use these resources, and then at the same time they could share those experiences and their project with the students who are at the colleges. So that's kind of how I integrated it together.
That's great. And so how does Concrete Walls projects tie into that? Like, what is that? Is it a series? Are you just referring to the gallery space? Like, what is that about?
Well, originally it was the gallery, and
mm-hmm.
I ran that for 5 years. It wasn't a for-profit space. Most of the projects were more like interactive installations and things where the public would come in, and sometimes they would know that there was art there and sometimes they wouldn't know there was art there. And then when I closed the gallery about 3 years ago, I thought I was kind of taking a break, but then a lot of different institutions started to ask me to curate shorts for them, which is kind of how it organically grew into part of my career, which I
mm-hmm.
really had not intended it to be. And so now when I find different resources, like I said, I was describing at the college, I try to hook artists together and resources together so that way they can make projects happen. So the last one was over at Post Gal in downtown.
Uh-huh. And where do you find inspiration to do these sorts of things?
Usually it's just like the people I'm around, to be honest. Like being around artists who are making interesting things makes me want to see them do more, you know? And myself, when I'm like making work on my own, that's great and everything. But then when I get out and I see other people's work, like Calvin or other people who are working with me on a project,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of gets me to think about how I can connect people together, yeah.
And what do you think is the best advice that you've been given by any of these artists that you've connected with throughout the years?
Mm.
What's the best advice you've gotten, and then the best advice that you've given, like, to your students or your peers?
Well, I think they're over in CalArts here. They're cleaning the trash cans out and stuff. Sorry. And there's like a chainsaw outside. Advice. Can we go back to that one?
Sure.
Okay.
So I guess, I mean, even a better question would be, like, what are your favorite collaborations in art? You keep talking about, oh, the art that interests me. Well, what interests you? What's your favorite?
Some collaborations.
Mm-hmm.
One of the collaborations that I was really excited about was this thing that I did with Kyle Johnson. He's a sculptor. He shows at Mark Moore.
Mm-hmm.
I had seen these little videos that he had been producing with this local production company called Roger, and
okay.
they were little shorts on his. So they're documenting him working in the studio. And so I approached him about doing a project with Roger that involved students, where he would create sculptures with the students And then Roger would use the sculptures as props to film a short film. So for me, it was exciting to see, like, someone in the fine art world collaborating mm-hmm. with people in the commercial art field. That was really cool.
Right. And what about your favorite collaborations, like people that you've connected with?
Well, I kind of consider that one of my collaborations because
uh-huh.
it was a project that I kind of instigated. Like, both of them kind of knew, they already worked together and they knew each other, but they didn't realize it that they could use each other in this way. So I put them in a situation with these students and with the facilities at this college and kind of egged them on to do it.
Right. So would you say that your curatorial philosophy would be to instigate?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I would say I am that person. Yeah.
And what are you most proud of?
What am I most proud of? Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'm just proud that I'm still in LA. I mean, I love being here. I grew up in Los Angeles. I think it's really easy to kind of give up and move away or get discouraged because you feel like you're not getting the opportunities that you think you should be getting. But
mm-hmm.
Just being here and continuing to work and continuing to be professional, I think is an accomplishment, I guess. I don't know.
Agreed. So,
yeah.
All right, have there been really hard moments or challenging lessons or mistakes that you've made? Like, what are they? Like, what can artists or people listening now learn from you?
I think one of the most important things is to be genuine with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of people get really caught up in the experience they had in graduate school and a lot of the posturing and positioning that's part of the art world. And that can become more of a distraction, and it can be, you can put more effort into that than actually making good work.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be a balance between the two. Both have to exist, but you can't let it overtake your practice. Yeah.
That is good advice. So would you consider that to be a mistake that you may have made?
A mistake?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not a perfect person. I'm sure I made mistakes, and I always joke that, you know, as a curator, I'm sure there's people out there who hate my guts. You know, there's probably somebody out there that, you know, wonders why I didn't put them in a show, or maybe I said something that they interpreted as being not nice or being
mm-hmm.
stuck up or something. But I don't know. I don't really, like, dwell on those things, you know, because I do the things that I got to do. And along the way, it's inevitable that somebody's going to think that I made a mistake or be unhappy. But lost opportunity, I think, is always something that can open up other opportunities too.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of times, you know, we're like, oh, shoot, I should have talked a little bit differently to this curator, or when I met that person, I should have said this or that, you know. But really, ultimately, it doesn't matter. If you just kind of stay the course, other avenues will open up.
Absolutely. And now I'm interested. What do curators want anyway? Like, what do you want as a curator? What do you want to see?
What do we want? I don't know what other people want. I mean, what I want is I want to work with interesting people
mm-hmm.
who want to put their all into a project. I'm kind of past the point where I'm just interested in picking up someone's art and hanging it up and then handing it back to them.
Mm-hmm.
I want if I am showing work that's like that, I want artists to be kind of engaged in the whole idea of whatever curatorial project that they're participating in. And I just want them to be professional, even if they are somebody I already know or a friend, because then it makes both situations more mutually beneficial in putting the show together.
So what does professionalism mean to you?
To me, it means like taking the situation seriously by being really invested in the project. And I know as an artist myself, I'm horrible at turning things in on time. I'm always late. I'm the typical artist that curators hate sometimes. And so in one way, I kind of am sympathetic to people who are like that because, you know, they're just not wired to be part of a system. But in other ways, I feel like people have to kind of step up and just, you know, at least try to make it as easy as possible for me to do my job. Yeah.
So they have to have their shit together.
Yeah, they have to put their shit together, exactly. Yeah, that's right.
So they need to do their paperwork, they need to meet deadlines, and they need to communicate with you on a professional level.
Exactly, yeah.
Perfect.
That's the least you expect, really.
Right. And the work has to be good.
The work has to be good. And, you know, there's some artists, you know, that have, like, quirky things, and some artists, they get really frantic about their work and they don't want to give it to you on time because they think it's not done or they want to switch it and things like that. And because I'm an artist, I understand where they're coming from. So I can be sympathetic to a point, but then it reaches a situation where, you know, I have to be more stern.
So without naming any names, what's the worst experience as an artist that you've had?
The worst experience? Probably the worst experience I ever had was somebody that I really trusted. I gave them a year in advance notice to be in the show because I knew that his work took a long time to make. So I told him a year before about I was curating a show that his work was going to fit into, and then he didn't communicate to me that he was having problems in the studio. And then 3 weeks before the show was going to open, right before I was going to send the press out, he told me that he couldn't finish the piece and that there was no way he was going to finish it. And it happened after I called him, and that was the part I was most upset about. I don't think I would have been nearly as upset if he would have called me a month or two before and told me that, you know, he was having a hard time and that he didn't think it was going to work out, this certain piece. But it was more that he didn't communicate with me that he was having a hard time. So I think that's probably something artists should probably do is, and it's scary, I know, because you don't want to disappoint people, but right. you have to communicate.
Right. Okay, well, here's a question. You know, like, how do you feel like arts in LA have changed? You've been here your whole life, you know, you've been a student, you've been a grad student, and now you're a working artist and curator. Like, do you think your perspective or maybe, like, arts in general has changed in LA?
I think it's always changing. And I think
what's the landscape like right now? Are artists giving up? Are artists empowered? Has the playing field been evened out?
I don't think it's a bad time to be an artist in LA.
No, I think
it's a really exciting time.
Mm-hmm.
When I opened my space up, was it almost 8 years ago? There were very few artist-run spaces that were getting any type of press or any type of notable attention. And, you know, the economy went bad. Everybody knows that all of these artist-run spaces have been popping up, and then a lot of projects and public practice type things have been embraced by the museum, like like at MoCA with Engagement Party, and also at LACMA and the Hammer Museum all have programs that support this type of work. And so it is kind of empowering, and I don't think that it's necessarily leveled the playing field, or I didn't look at it that way. It's, to me, it's not artists versus dealers or artists versus institutions. I think that both worlds have to run parallel together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's exciting right now because I see it running parallel in that way.
And where do you see your career going? Are you going to stay in L.A.? Alec, what do you ultimately want for yourself? You want to continue teaching?
I am not moving. I mean, I don't know. I don't see myself moving. I've always lived here. It's my home. I think that there's really great work happening here. And I really am a painter first. I'm an artist first. And I always remind myself of that. And I will continue painting. And I will continue curating shows as those opportunities are things, you know, I meet artists that I want to do stuff with. So, yeah.
Do you feel safe naming some artists that are kind of up and coming that may not be, like, out there yet that you're really excited about?
Oh, there's a lot.
Yeah.
One artist that I've been working with for, I would say, about 7 years. I think I've curated, like, maybe 5 projects with him. His name's Derek Eady.
Mm-hmm.
He's a video artist. Went to UC Irvine for grad school. And his work's really interesting. He has kind of infiltrated the video game industry, and he's become one of the leading environmental design, 3D design people for Infinity Ward, which is the company that made Modern Warfare.
Right.
And what he does is he uses this technology that he uses in his day job, and he uses it to create video installations, which are really amazing. So he's one guy I think is interesting.
Wow, that's great. And so time goes really fast. Now it is time for you to brag about your website, your upcoming shows and collaborations, your curatorial projects, any organizations or things that you're a part of, partnerships, all of that. So you get to tell the listeners who you are, how to find you, and all of that.
Well, my website for my own work is devonsuno.com, which is spelled DEVONTSUNO. And I also have a Facebook page used frequently. I also have a Facebook page for Concrete Walls, which is Concrete Walls Projects. I also have a Tumblr page for Concrete Walls, which is tumblr.concretewallsprojects. And exciting right now, the Concrete Walls website's getting rebuilt. And
awesome.
It's going to be really neat. It's going to have video, and it's going to have artists talking about their work, and also some projects that are going to be curated online as well. So that's pretty going to be pretty exciting, and that's going to be concretewallsprojects.com. So that's it.
Okay, now I have another question. Where do you find the money for stuff like this? Like, how are you staying alive?
Okay, that's good.
How lucrative is your career right now?
Well, I'm definitely not independently wealthy, so I don't have that going for me. But I teach. This is one way that I create income. I wouldn't say it's the easiest way to go about, and it's very competitive now.
Mm-hmm.
And I drive probably 300 miles a week to all the different schools,
mm-hmm.
and constantly trying to hustle, you know, different teaching jobs all over California. I just came back from Idlewild two days ago. where I teach up at the Idlewild Arts. I teach their, at their summer program. And here I'm at CISA teaching the best of California's high school students.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do make some money from curating. I was a gallery director at Cypress College, so I had income from that. And I've also different institutions that have grants and budgets built in to hire independent curators have hired me to go and do projects.
Smart man.
And that's a good way to kind of supplement your income. But I would say, like, you know, it's different for everybody. There's really no one way to make money. And I would just tap into, like, whatever skills that you have if you're the coming right out of grad school type. You know, if you're, it doesn't have to necessarily be an art thing, I think.
Right. Well, perfect. All right, Devin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care, and I will link you, and I will find your concrete walls and your Facebook page, and you can have all of this live to listen to. All right?
Awesome. Thanks again.
Cool. Well, have a good one. Enjoy the rest of CISA.
Okay. All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye. He was sweet, right, Calvin? Yeah, Calvin's nodding here. I love it. Calvin Lee, he's our, he's everything. He's a photographer and he's shy. He does the documentation and slide scanning here for Gist Inc., which reminds me, if you have any questions, suggestions, recipes, you want more information on getting your slides scanned because you want to move into 2011, you can email me at gistradio, G-Y-S-T-R-A-D-I-O, at gmail.com, or Monica at gistinc.com, M-O-N-I-C-A, at G-Y-S-T-I-N-K.com. Or you can even contact Calvin if you want to, but you're going to have to go through me. All right, let's listen to some theme song.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present
Hello and welcome to Gist Radio. We are a casual radio station where we broadcast when we have something to say. Gist stands for Getting Your Shit Together, and we broadcast important interviews and information for artists and creators of all kinds. For more information on Gist, please log into our website at www.gyst-ink.com, where you will find free resources, software, and publications for artists. You can email us and let us know what you would like to hear about at info@gyst-ink.com. Thanks for tuning in.